Please be seated. Well, good morning. We had lots planned for today. We usually have our winter blues party today, so it's a little, somebody thought it was ironic that winter canceled the winter blues party. So thank you for making your way out. As you know, we always have services. As long as one of the priests can get here, we'll have a service. Unfortunately, we didn't have the 400 inches of snow they thought we might, so we're here. We're about to start Lent, and Lent is a particular season that is set apart by churches that follow liturgical calendars. And I wanted to start with a question that maybe you've thought about before, but what is it like for you to try to be perfect? Do you know what I mean by that? What's it like to be perfect? Now, you might say in the back of your mind, I'm not perfect. I don't think that. But think about it for a minute. One of the things I always gauge myself, I have a little self-party, so to speak. You know, you have self-pity. I have self-parties often. And if I do my taxes, our family's taxes, if I can get through TurboTax without making a mistake, on the first try, I consider that perfection. And I have a little self-party. Usually it means I get to go to a movie or something, depending on how much I owe, usually. So. But think about that. How many of you, if you've been a student and you really sought for perfection in a grade, or if you have a task before you, you seek for a certain level of perfection, or perhaps in the job that you work in, you might be expected to work at a certain level of perfection. I was once a pharmacy technician and working in a pharmacy, and we were expected to operate at 99.8% proficiency. What that means is 99.8% of the time, we are to be perfect. And they recognize that every once in a while, we might put the wrong med. We had checks and fail-safes to make sure patients didn't get it. But every once in a while, we might fill something with the wrong pill just because we're too busy or the word is closed or something like that. You don't think about that, but that's a pretty high rate of perfection, right? And it's kind of funny, we look back, and I had to work in Wichita State into my sermon, just so you know, because I'm a graduate. I don't know if you knew, I graduated from Wichita State, and they had a perfect basketball season. So, but even we laud that as some kind of goal, right? Even though we know it doesn't happen very often. But think about other ways that we might put perfection into our life. The way we look, the way we act. We might be fearful of conflict. We might be fearful of showing any weakness to the people around us in our public roles. We might be fearful of a break in a relationship that we share with another person. And so we often present ourselves as perfect. For those of you who are on social media, one of the kind of interesting things that's happening as a result of Facebook and Twitter and all these different things and Snapchat and stuff like that is that we're portraying a false reality. And it's causing other people to have challenges. Like if you get on Facebook or these things, people are portraying their best. And so other people are looking at the great lives everybody else has, and they leave Facebook slightly depressed. These are psychological studies that are watching this. And have you thought about that? If you've ever been on that? If you look, people are often, you know, it looks like their life is a heck of a lot more interesting than yours. You know what I mean? I'm guilty of that. I put fake stuff up. I don't, you know. I make my life look even better from fake pictures. I'm just kidding. But aren't we wanting to be perfect? There was a heresy in the early church that was about this because there was a group of people that started to say that the goal of the Christian was to imitate Jesus. And the closer you imitated Jesus, the closer you were to perfection. And so the goal of a Christian was to imitate Jesus exactly, and if you did that, if you worked on that, that's how you receive grace. And we don't think about it, but that's around us all the time. We say, you have to obtain this goal, you have to weigh this, you have to look this, you have to perform this, you have to be this, you have to have the perfect house, the right car, the right makeup, the right clothes, you know, if your sports team doesn't win every medal, you know, all these things. We still say that, and the early church said that's wrong. That's not how God works. God says, Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead and has given everything for your grace. And that no matter your imperfection, no matter your failure, no matter your sin, no matter what it is that's wrong with you, in your mind or in the world's mind, God is going to love you anyway. God will love you anyway. I think this is really hard for us to believe. I think it's really hard for us to accept that at times. And I think that's why we lack vulnerability. Because when there's something just a little bit wrong with us, often it's harder to share that than it is to be open. When there's something that isn't just quite perfect, we don't want to be that vulnerable. But the heart of Christianity, and I told somebody this the other day, they said that whenever they come to church because of what they're going on in their life, all they can do is cry. And I said, if you can't do that in church, I don't know where you could do it in life. That if you can't come to church and have the vulnerability to sit in the sanctuary and cry because of whatever's going on, then we're doing something wrong as a community. You see, we're sinners in this room. We're imperfect. We're broken. We're seeking love and healing from God and with each other, and that's why we're here. But our society doesn't want us to think that way. Lent is a particular time that we set apart to say we're not perfect. It's a time when we say, you have brokenness in your life, examine it. Your relationship isn't as strong as it could be with God, take time to strengthen it. Your relationship with the people around you may very well be broken and harmed. Take time to work on it and to reconcile. You may have fallen away from the faith that you've had. Take time to try to renew it. You may be broken and enter God's grace that you might know that love. And so we set aside this period and we really enter into the chance to be vulnerable both with each other and in front of God and in this place, this holy place, this sanctuary, to be vulnerable in that way. I remember going through a particular time in my life when I thought I was perfect. It wasn't that long ago, just kidding. I remember going through that, and kind of what happened was I was really unwilling to admit anything, and I was always right. And so this is before I had married Kelly, and I know that I'm not always right now. I know that during this time I dated lots of different people and different things like that was going on, and it was always their fault when things didn't work out. I had roommate after roommate after roommate, not a lot, but some, and whenever the roommate relationship would end, it was always because they weren't clean enough, or they weren't this, or they were mean, or they were dirty, or whatever it was. You know, it was always their fault in my mind. And I had other friendships that just weren't working, and then something kind of clicked one Lent, believe it or not. And I kind of said, the only common denominator with all these issues that I'm having is what? Me. And it took a while. And then I started to do real work. I was willing to really look at what was happening. And maybe it wasn't each roommate, and maybe it wasn't each woman that I dated, and maybe it wasn't each friend, but maybe there was something going on that I was contributing to those relationships. When I was willing to admit that, or to be broken enough, and to take it to my church, and to my friends, and to other healing practitioners, suddenly what happened? But I found a new way to be more vulnerable and to fill my relationships with grace. I could see that others very well might be flawed, but it wasn't my goal to make them better. That was their work. And things really changed. And I have found year after year, as Lent comes upon me, it's an opportunity to really do a little more of that work. Because it never really ends, does it? We don't really ever become perfect because at each point in our life we have different brokenness. So maybe it's that chance for you to think about that and to work a little deeper on that life that you have. All of us in this room come bringing our own challenges and our own struggles. And so maybe this is a time and a season when you can engage that hard work. to be willing to go a little deeper with God. I think the promise that we have is that God's going to love us no matter what. I love the readings for today because Jesus takes his friends up to the holy mountain and God speaks and says, "This is my son, listen to him." That's really all the text is about. And one of the people would say, "Oh, this is great, it's perfect, let's make tents." So you guys don't really know what that means, do you? That means is, let's make temples. Let's build a building. Let's put a trophy up. Because in their mind, the work was had happened. They'd seen God. And then if you travel around the Holy Land, there are little temples all over the place where people think that God had spoken to them. And that's often what you would do is when God does something, then you freeze that moment and you say, "This is it." And what's beautiful about the lesson is Jesus says, this is not the perfection. This is not the end. This is not the moment. More is to come. Go from this place, and we have work to do. Don't build a temple. It's not about that. And what Jesus will eventually allude to is that the body of Christ, us, the people who hear him, who listen to him, who are willing to do that, become the temple. We become Christ in the world. And the beautiful thing about this is we don't have to be perfect. In all our flaws, in all our brokenness, in all our weakness, as we gather week after week, as we engage in ministry, we do so on behalf of Christ. So it's Lent. Give yourself permission to not be perfect. Give yourself permission to work on those things that God would have you work on. If a relationship is broken, take time to think and to pray, and if perhaps it's time to act on reconciling that. If you feel distance from God, enter a time of prayer and try to renew that relationship. If you feel that you don't know enough about your faith, be willing to take on a study or to look a little deeper into Scripture. If you feel that you have not engaged in ministry, perhaps it's the time to take something new on. And what we do during Lent is we often give something up or we take something on. And it's not to give something up so that we can be healthy and to have a diet, though that might be something that happens from that. But to give something up is to remind us in our desire for that thing to work on the very thing we just talked about. So if I give up Diet Coke, which is a daily part of my life, whenever I crave the Diet Coke, it isn't to say, "Oh, I'm being so healthy." It's to say, "What am I doing in my relationship with God now?" That's the point of fasting. When we feel the hunger pains, when we feel whatever it is for us to then put God in that place. If we take something on, it's to give ourselves the reminder of God's presence in our life. I remember someone talking a few years ago, they took on going and serving in a food pantry, and they'd never done that before, and they went, they said, "I'm going to do it every week for 6 weeks," and it opened their eyes, and it gave them passion to feed others. They were transformed in that moment. So whatever it is you might do, I also encourage you to come and to take part in two really important parts of the week. One is the Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper. You know, we were supposed to empty our kitchens of all the bad stuff for us. Basically, we're going to eat glorified donuts. You know, we're going to burn up all the fat and the sugar as we prepare for our Lenten fast. And we do that, and we have a lot of fun. Sometimes you call it Mardi Gras, or you call it Shrove Tuesday. And our kids are going to have a great party celebration. We're going to have a great time on Tuesday night. And we do that to prepare for the next day, which is Ash Wednesday, which to me is one of the most powerful liturgies that we have. It's a moment when we come and we say how vulnerable we are. And we're given in our words some urgency to work on our spiritual life and our relationships around us. And we start our Lenten journey. So I want you to have a holy Lent. But I want more than anything else for you to know the love of God through the grace of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that in your imperfection, that God loves you. and listening. And that you need do nothing to receive that love. But when you find that love, you might be empowered to change your life and to change the world. To me, there's no greater gift. I know I'll have things to work on this Lent. I'm not perfect, and I never will be. I have those things that will take time and energy and effort, and it's some of the most important work I can do. And I encourage you to do the same. None of us are perfect. We're all imperfect. And God loves us just as we are. God loves us just as we are. Amen.